Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. I want to remind you as we jump into this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. And I like to remind you that MeQ is a credit union, not a bank. It means it belongs to you. For more information, you can go to www.mecu.com, or you can jump on to steinershow.org and hit their banner, and all the information will be right there. We're going to start our show off today talking about Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is coming up this Sunday. Remembering the hundreds, thousands of transgender people who have been murdered here in this country and around the world. Before we started, two of my guests who are in studio here right now, Sandy Rawls and Catherine Hyde, told a story of it. One of them tell it in more detail of a transgender woman who was murdered, burned alive, and thrown over into a highway last week, an 18-year-old young woman. Mm-hmm. But we are joined here by Catherine Hyde, parent of a transgender student in Howard County School System, where she was in Howard County School System.
She was. She's now at Towson University.
And Catherine's been on the show before to tell her story and that story and the story of her family. Tona Brown, Sandy Rawls is with us in the studio right now, founder of TransUnited. Always good to see you, Sandy.
Same here, Mark. Nice to see you.
On the phone, Tona Brown joins us once again. She'll be in studio soon. She's stuck in traffic. Violinist, vocalist, founder of the Ida String Ensemble. Tona, welcome. Good to have you with us. Is Tona there? She dropped out? Okay. I have no idea who's on the phone, who's not. I know who's on the phone. Kerry Evans is on the phone, the incoming executive director of Equality Maryland. And Kerry, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Mark.
And congratulations on your job.
Thank you.
Yeah, can I say congratulations to Kerry, too?
You can't.
I can't? Well, I just did.
Fine.
Congratulations, Kerry. This is Sandy.
Sandy. It will be so good to be working again with TransUnited.
Wonderful.
I'm psyched about that.
Yeah, I'm renewed in my strength now hearing this.
Good.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's coming up and what this Trans Day of Remembrance is. Were you the one, did you start off talking about the woman in Detroit?
Well, I had mentioned there is an 18-year-old trans woman in Detroit who was murdered. I believe it was a couple weeks ago, and they just found her body last week. And it's always tragic, but this story especially touched me because my girl is 18, and this girl was 18. And she was calling for help, evidently, when the line was cut or the phone was disconnected, and then they never heard from her again. And later they found, I believe it was just her burned torso on the side of the road. And they were able to identify her by a tattoo, I think it was, and reached out to her mom.
Yeah. It's sad. It really is. It's sad. You know, Mark, we have to we have to begin to educate people. I faced a lot of different situations where, you know, people were very, very vulgar and, you know, disrespectful. But, you know, it took a mighty person in me to, you know, let that go and pull them aside, you know, and educate them about who I am and why I am who I am and why I live my life the way I do. I'll have to live my life the way I do. So it helps them understand. And then they go a step back and say, oh, I didn't know that.
Right. Once you put a face on it, once people meet a trans person, and then the thing that I've been working with trans people now for three years since we understood that my kid is trans, and what I've discovered is just these people are so intrepid because of the incredible journey that they are on in this country. And it's difficult, not because you're trans, it's difficult because society is so ignorant and unaccepting and unwilling to wrap their heads around something that's really very simple. Yes. You know, we all have a gender identity. Right. It's just most of us don't have to unpack it.
Right.
You know, it's all in alignment. So, you know, so we don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But once you realize that's all this is.
That's all it is.
Yeah. We should also welcome Tona Brown, who's on her way over here. Tona's now on the phone with this violinist, vocalist, founder of Ida String Ensemble, who's been on the show before. Tona, welcome. Good to have you with us as well.
Hello.
You there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, welcome. Good to have you with us. Looking forward to getting in the studio as soon as you arrive. And the number here, by the way, folks, is 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. But let me go around the room here for a minute, and we start again with you, Catherine, just because what you just said. You said it's so simple, but clearly it's not simple. I mean, because it wasn't simple when you told your story about your family. It wasn't so simple for your husband and you to wrap your hands around everything in the beginning.
No, a gender identity is a simple thing. Mm-hmm. What makes it complex in our society is we don't make room for this mm-hmm. kind of gender identity. Mm-hmm. There are cultures out there who believe that the child is a gift from God who expresses him or herself in any way she does. Mm-hmm. And the trans people in those societies are welcomed and celebrated and accepted. Mm-hmm. Right. In our society, we have this very binary thing, and mm-hmm. trans people break out of that binary, and that's what makes it complicated.
Right.
So, and it's really just a matter of education, mm-hmm. as right. You were saying before.
Right, and it's a matter of education and respect mm-hmm. and acceptance.
Yes.
You know, and I see a lot of people when they, you know, they tolerate.
Yes.
Know. Tolerate is I see toleration on a scale from 1 to 10. And if you go to a 4 or 5, you know, you may not have what it takes to give somebody a hug or to respect mm-hmm. somebody to the degree that they feel that respect. Yeah. But if you accept them, that means you all the way across the scale, you all the way from 1 to 10, you accept that person completely. Then you begin to respect them to a degree that they feel like they're a part of society.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to happen.
We talk a lot about this in the there's about 15 parents in a support group that we run mm-hmm. now for just parents of trans kids. And these kids mm-hmm. range in age from like 3 to 28.
Wonderful.
We talk a lot about the journey of, you know, first there's the shock and what is that? Because, mm-hmm. you know, people talk to you about when you have a child, you may have this kind of child or that kind of child. They never say you may have a trans child, right?
Right.
So you're completely unprepared for this. But that whole journey into acceptance mm-hmm. and through acceptance and all the way up to celebration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to the point where you realize, you know, my kid is a four-leaf clover.
Mm-hmm.
My kid is magic. You are magic. And my story is that any woman who can birth one of these children is a goddess.
You better
should
believe
be
it.
Celebrated as
you better believe it.
We're also joined by Sharon Brackett now, who's on the phone, who's board chair of Gender Rights Maryland. And Sharon, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate
Could you just there. Before I turn to Tona and Carrie, what is not we have Carrie on the phone, who's the new director of Equality Maryland, but you mm-hmm. are board chair of Gender Rights Maryland. What's that?
Gender Rights Maryland is a civil rights organization that was founded this past year with the goal of promoting legislation changes in the state of Maryland to include gender identity expression as a protected class in state law. And we've also been active in trying to affect those same changes at the local level where we can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our goal, and we're optimistic that we're going to be able to achieve those things this coming legislative session.
And Tony, the last time you were on the air with us, I remember we had this great conversation that I thought was a pretty groundbreaking conversation on some levels, because it wasn't so much about equal rights and political rights and fighting for the change as much as it was the two of you talking about just being normal human beings and living a life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Was that directed at me?
It was, Tona. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean, I think I said something like that on State Circle or something. They had interviewed me during the last session. I mean, the bottom line is that we are everyday folks. There are trans people all around you. Some aren't clearly evident, because a lot of us, our goal in life is to just simply live life. Unfortunately, that's not the case for all trans people, and sometimes they run into discrimination in the community, and it manifests itself in many different forms. Most notably, employment discrimination is a real problem. Housing discrimination, folks are, you know, their leases aren't renewed or they're denied access. And then quite clearly, as evidenced through circumstances this past spring, public accommodations are a huge concern among folks in the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact that outside of Baltimore City or Montgomery County, I could be refused service for simply trying to order a hamburger. And that's of great concern to our community. And if we're going to, you know, change the hearts and minds through education, as Catherine has suggested, sometimes the base foundation that you need is a change in law. And once that change in law occurs, and this has been the case for most civil rights legislation, people start to think differently about what it is that it's okay or not okay to do with a certain class of people. And so that's our goal. It's really to sort of change the mindset of people. And starting with a legislative foundation, I think we have a real opportunity to do that.
Well, Let me jump in real quick and just say that I do agree with you on Sharon on that. You know, the legislation part is a very big part of our journey, you know, and going in this direction. But I think it's not all we have to do because we have a gender anti-discrimination. Well, we have an ordinance here in Baltimore City. And I get plenty of phone calls and I get plenty of action around trying to fight the discrimination that happened to trans people here in Baltimore City. So that lets me know passing a gender non-discrimination act or non-discrimination legislation in Maryland won't necessarily completely stop the discrimination issues. I think that we have to build relationships with people. During the civil rights movement, when the civil rights bill was passed, okay, racism didn't stop.
Right.
Okay, still here today.
Right.
All right, but once people got a chance to go to work with people, okay, live next door to people, ride the bus with people, live in the same neighborhoods with people, they realize that, oh, they don't always break in your house and steal, you know? So,
but to your point, that happened because the legislation was the groundwork that allowed the bus rides and the living in the neighborhoods
exactly.
and all of that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to that end, that's why we're so excited about this legislation that's before mm-hmm. the Howard County Council right now. We've got four out of the five council members or sponsors of it. The hearing is Monday night. PFLAG will be out there. Gender Rights Maryland has been a huge partner with PFLAG in moving this forward. So please come out to the courthouse Monday night, 7 p.m. Wear purple. Show your support. We want to make sure that these council members know that Sharon, you know this better than me. 90% of Americans believe that transgender people should have equal rights and be protected under the law.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a difficult issue, but we do need that legislation. And if we get it in Howard County, we can get it in the state, and then we're going to have more of those human relationships
exactly.
that you're speaking to, which
mm-hmm.
really is where the rubber meets the road. That's when
right.
hearts and minds are changed.
Right.
It's when you know somebody.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. We're talking about this because talk about the transgender world because this Sunday is Transgender Remembrance Day, remembering all the transgender people who have been murdered in this country and around the globe. It is a huge issue, and we have created dialogues in this program since its beginning on transgender issues, on transgender people, on just trying to create a dialogue between communities. And you can join us here, 410-319-8888. We have in the studio with us Catherine High, the parent of a transgender child who is now in college. Sandy Rawls is founder of Trans United. Tona Brown is a violinist, vocalist, founder of the Ida String Ensemble. Carrie Evans is the incoming executive director of Equality Maryland. And Sharon Brackett is board chair of Gender Rights Maryland. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And how you feel about this whole issue. Maybe you're transgender, someone in your family is. Maybe you think that there shouldn't be a public accommodations bill and there's something's wrong with this. I want to hear from you, too. 410-319-8888 is the number. Because I think, Carrie, that one of the things that I remember the last session that happened was what stopped the bill was the question of public accommodations. Mm-hmm. Was, as some would say, the fear of sharing bathrooms was is literally what it came down to. And that became the issue that stopped it.
Right, and I mean that's been a tactic that you know our opponents have used you know successfully in many places is really you know taking the focus away from employment and housing and you know making it all about lockers and shower rooms. They did it in Montgomery County after you know we passed the ordinance there in 2009, and they could just continue to do that. And we saw like the whole you know focus shift to lockers and shower rooms. And, you know, having public accommodations removed from the bill, you know, was, you know, what the legislators did. And, you know, it's an issue we have to, you know, going back to the education, you know, part is getting legislators, just as, you know, we've been able to over the past couple of decades, you know, make gay and lesbian people real to, you know, non-gay Americans. You know, everybody now knows a gay or lesbian person. They can relate. They can conjure up somebody in their head that they know are gay and lesbian. But we haven't got to that point with, you know, non-transgender Americans and them being able to conjure up a transgender person to know, you know, like Catherine was saying before, a real person, a real, you know, entity to put behind, you know, the actions that they're doing or not doing. And, you know, in the public accommodations, we have to really, you know, address the issues. I mean, we're not going to win if we don't talk about it. So we just have to be able to, you know, address these issues and, you know, call them out for what they are, our red herrings that are, you know, trying to derail the entire legislation, because the bill still, even after public accommodations was taken out, still did not have the support it needed to pass. So, you know, that wasn't the real issue that was on the table.
Well, if I could just comment on a couple of things that and amplify.
Who's this?
Sharon.
Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, Sharon. Sorry about that. I would offer up that a large portion of the public can name a transgender person due to a lot of the notoriety that was recently put forward on Chaz Bono and Dancing on the Stars. And I think a lot of folks looked at Chaz and said, oh, that's just a guy out there trying to do his best job dancing. And I think he was a great representative for our community and has changed the minds of a lot of folks who weren't sure about trans people. And I think that that's been a huge impact. The second thing is that, as Sandy indicated, these protections have been in place since, I believe, 2002 in Baltimore City and 2008 in Howard County. Mm-hmm. And the
Montgomery County.
I'm sorry, I meant Montgomery County. Thank you for fixing that. I got Howard County on the brain. Let's go.
No.
but the point is that these protections have been in place with public accommodations in both of those municipalities. And quite frankly, the sky has not fallen. There has not been the sort of concerns or problems or issues that the naysayers put forward. These things just don't happen. And the reality is that these laws are in place presently in 15 states, in the District of Columbia, and over 140 municipalities throughout the United States. And we don't hear stories of problems in the bathroom or in the shower from trans people. Trans people are there to do the same thing everyone else is, get their business done and move on.
But I'm up with the phones here. I do want to, there's a little bit of what I think we've been talking about that in some ways may be kind of wishful thinking about the world we're in right now. Mm-hmm. Thinking that most people know somebody transgender, I'm not sure that's true. I think that Dancing with the Stars,
yeah, that's television, so everybody's watching television.
Everybody's watching TV.
And America's Next Top Model, my niece Isis, who was on there twice. She was just on there with the legends had came back, uh-huh. and they competed against each other, and she made 4 or 5 episodes on that before she had to, you know, before she was off the show.
I think this is still something for most people. It's very difficult for people who are not in the world. Mm-hmm. Or somehow attach the world mm-hmm. to put their hands around to understand it.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely.
Yeah,
I agree completely.
And it's fearful, and because of our way we look at sexuality in this world and how it empowers everything mm-hmm. in consciousness sometimes. Mm-hmm. That this is something people just it's threatening.
Mm-hmm. It's a visceral reaction. People have a very visceral reaction to trans people. It's like you stuck them with a knife or something. They just get angry and violent and
I've seen people, I've walked into places, and I've seen people just act like 5-year-olds. I mean, you know, they go from 30 years old to 25 years old down to 5 years old just like that. Just because I walk in the room, you know, you walk in the room.
Tona, probably we'll go to our first caller, Chuck. Join us here at 410-319-8888. Tona, we haven't heard from you yet. I'm sorry, you're still on the line with us. Go ahead. Tona, you there?
Did we lose Tona? Yes, I am. I'm building. I'm on my way.
She's coming
in. Okay, good. We'll wait to get in the door. Chuck, let's go to the phone. So 410-319-8888. And Chuck, you're on the air.
Okay. My question, I guess I'm trying to get some clarity in terms
sure.
of who we are referring to. Are we referring to people who have undergone sex surgery, or are we referring to people who simply dress up as the opposite sex but still obviously have features of their own sex?
Chuck, how you doing, Chuck? This is Sandy Rawls. We are talking about the transgender community. Transgender is an umbrella term, okay? And under that umbrella term, you have different demographics of people. You have people like you just described who are transsexuals who may have had surgery and may not have surgery. You had SRS surgery anyway. You have people who are pansexual or asexual, bisexual, intersexed. You have people who are, drag queens, and sometimes people, who are cross-dressers. What's your motive in your question?
I guess I just wanted to understand, what the term was, but I know that I lived in a community which had a high population of men who dressed up in women's attire, mm-hmm. and I have an 8-year-old son, mm-hmm. and I was concerned about how he viewed that. So he and I would have conversations about it, so on and so forth. I mean, I wouldn't say, hey, let's drive them out of the neighborhood, but it did, in fact, stir up some confusion in my son, and it generated some conversation between he and I, which was fine. But beyond that, I guess where I have kind of an irritation whenever these conversations come up is when they are compared to civil rights, because the civil rights movement was a movement which started for African-American people, and that's not something that we can choose to turn on or turn off. I mean, there were children who were less than 3 years of age who have been burned or killed just because of the color of their skin. So to compare that to, a group of people who are choosing to kind of be, I guess, quote-unquote, outcast or an exile, not that they should be mistreated, but I just don't like the comparison between that and civil rights, because I think you're comparing apples and oranges.
Well, Chuck, I can certainly understand your concern, because I get touchy about the civil rights movement and everything too, because it's near and dear to my heart, because I'm African American myself.
It's myself.
And Tona's sitting here as well. But, someone being, attacked or hurt or murdered simply because of the color of their skin is just like someone being murdered hurt because of their gender identity. It's because of who you are. And by the way, this is not a choice. We're born this way. We're not choosing to be this way. People don't choose to get bottles thrown at them. People don't choose to be beaten and harassed. People just don't choose to go through the things that we go through.
Last year on Transgender Day of Remembrance, one of the people who was celebrated was a 16-month-old boy who had been beaten to death by his father for behaving too girly. Mm-hmm. That is not a choice when you're 16 months old, and it's no reason to be beaten to death.
Tona, welcome to the studio.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
It's great to be here. I have to totally agree with everyone on the panel. It's definitely not a choice, and it is indeed similar to the civil rights movement in every way, shape, or form. And I feel really bad for the individual who doesn't see those correlations and the group of people who don't see those correlations. And also, as Sandy mentioned, many of us are people of color. And so we've had family members, or we have done certain things to help the community as a whole, not just the transgender community, but also the African American community.
One of the things that was just said here, though, I think that you just said, Sandy, and let's wrestle with this for a minute, and we'll go back to our calls. And Courtney, you're the next caller up. We'll come to your call at 410-319-8888. Is that we've had people on the show, we've had a lot of conversations over the last 19 years on transgender, the transgender world. There were many people who have. We're very clear making the point there is a difference between someone who is trans. This is why I think people have a hard time putting their hands around what this means, mm-hmm. because you just said like something was different than other people have said, which is that there is a difference between somebody who is a transvestite who chooses to dress up as a woman, if that's what they choose to do, and someone who is transgender who internally may have a male body but is...
May I jump in real quick? I know what you're trying to say,
Mark. But a lot of people don't agree with what you said. Your community.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. That makes for not the necessary debate, but good conversation and dialogue, because we need that so that we can understand who we are as people. That's how we get to find out who we are, having conversations and where we're going, having good conversations and good dialogue, not by beating each other in the head and throwing burning each other and throwing us on each other on the side of the road.
But over in the past 10 years, a lot of ground has been made in our efforts to kind of grow beyond this desire to put trans people in different boxes. Mm-hmm. This one's a drag queen. That one's a cross-dresser. This one's a whole real or, you know, complete transsexual. It's the transgender people are transgender people. Their gender identity does not agree with the identity they were assigned at birth. That's really what it boils down to. And we really don't need to box them any more than that. We need to respect
totally agree.
And celebrate.
I get this all the time, especially speaking on panels around the country. Mm-hmm. There is the need by society to, again, take you from the binary box that you were mentioning mm-hmm. earlier, and then again saying, well, if you have a certain sexual orientation, if you look a certain way, then that should depict your gender identity, and it's just not the case. And, the hardest thing about being a part of this movement and speaking out and being very authentically yourself is that you are dealt with terminology. And a lot of that terminology might not be how you identify yourself, but we are handed with, this is what a medical community has said you are, mm-hmm. which is yep. transgender, period.
Yep. This is
go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's Sharon again. I just wanted to reinforce a concept here that I think a lot of folks have not completely grasped. This is nature is full of variety. Years ago, we used to ostracize gay and lesbian people because they were different, and they were described as being some sort of aberration or something like that that should be derided. And we've become enlightened since that time that, you know what, this is just a natural variation on the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stigma associated with that has been largely removed. I mean, granted, there are places where people do not understand, and they may never, but in large portions of society, it's now okay to be gay or lesbian. And the trans condition is a similar situation. We are a natural variation of biology as human beings. We're not new. We've been around for centuries.
That's right. Do your history. Look in history.
We've been here for a long time. We're not going to magically go away. We are here, we are present, and this is a normal situation. It's been quite studied by the medical community. There is the support of the AMA, the American Medical Association, the APA. All of these organizations have looked at trans people and said, you know what? They have one issue. They have an incongruence between who they believe they are and the physical manifestation of their bodies.
Can I interject first? Let me
take a break, and okay. we'll come right from sure. this break. And I also want to jump into the phones because we have a lot of people calling in, and I okay. think that we need to go to Courtney and then Roosevelt, Wayne, Lindsay, and get your thoughts in the air and let our panelists respond. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I want to remind you on the way back. Let me do that next hour because we'll have more time. Let me jump back in this conversation. We'll go to reminding you who makes this show possible. We're talking about Transgender Day of Remembrance, which comes up this Sunday. It is a remembrance of the trans people who have been murdered in this country and around this world. Mm-hmm. And that day of remembrance is 6 to 8 p.m. ceremony and candlelight vigil is at Downtown Baltimore?
Well, it's going to be at the Unitarian
yes.
Church.
Oh, Unitarian Church.
Franklin and Charles.
Franklin
Street.
And Charles. Mm-hmm. Franklin and Charles.
Yeah.
And Saturday, November 19th is the Transgender Day of Celebration, mm-hmm. 11 to 6:30 p.m. Workshops and conversations in the same place at the First Unitarian Church mm-hmm. At the Enoch Pratt Parish Hall, 514 North Charles Street. It'll be on our website to have those links. We are here today with Catherine Hyde, who joins us once again, parent of transgender student in now at Towson University, mm-hmm. used to be at the Howard County School System. Tona Brown joins us in studio, violinist, vocalist, founder of Aida.
Aida.
I thought it was Aida.
That's okay.
Aida. Aida String Ensemble. Mm-hmm. Sandy Rawls, founder of Trans United. Carrie Evans, the new executive director of Equality Maryland. Mm-hmm. Sharon Brackett, board chair of Gender Rights Maryland. Mm-hmm. 410-319-8888. Courtney, you're on the air.
Thanks.
You're on the air, Courtney.
Good evening. I'm sorry.
Good evening.
I live in an area of Baltimore City with a high, I don't even know if you would call it a population, because I honestly don't think they live around there. But it's a lot of transsexuals engaged in the sex trade. And I look at, like, in the African-American community, where we're often told that we have to be involved in solving the problems in our community. And I'm noticing that this show is primarily focusing on transsexuals as victims. But what about the transsexuals who make it uncomfortable, not even because of their dress or their sexual orientation, but because they're engaged in unlawful behavior that makes your neighborhood feel unlawful? And then, like, I have gay friends, so I'm, like, so conflicted. Is it the transsexuals that I have a problem with, or is it the lifestyle?
So, when you say lifestyle, you're talking about the prostitution?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But they are transsexuals. There aren't women prostitutes.
Well, a lot of them may.
Well, let me just jump in real fast because we haven't. Let me go to Carrie first. We haven't heard from Carrie in a bit. And
okay.
Then we'll come back. Carrie, do you want to comment first?
Well, I know this is an issue that, like, Sandy has worked on a lot. Mm-hmm. So, particularly in what's going on in Charles Village.
Right.
Now.
Right.
So I would like for her to.
Okay, defer to Sandy.
I refer to them as sex workers. And the reason why I say that is because, and I'm not saying that they should be out there, okay? What should be going on is they should be able to go somewhere, get an education without being picked on. So therefore, they are the victims. They should be able to sit down in a classroom and learn a lesson and get a career without people putting them out of the school, without people harassing them, without people calling them names and stealing their books and doing things to them and throwing their papers in the trash and stuff like that. So when they face these type of adversities like this, they go in the street.
So let me ask a question. You know? Like, this is a follow-up of what she was saying. I think this is it's a real issue. I don't care whether,
mm-hmm.
you know, when mm-hmm. I lived for the last, for 27 years in Windsor Hills,
mm-hmm.
which is just a, you know, interracially middle class neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
the prostitution was a huge issue,
mm-hmm.
and some of us fought, don't arrest the prostitutes, let's figure out a way to deal with this. But the fact is, whether it's women, gay men,
trans people,
prostitution in your neighborhood, in your backyard, is a problem.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to live around prostitution.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
right?
True.
Mm-hmm.
I think
we have to understand
that a lot of trans people, young people, are kicked out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have nowhere to go, and they don't have the education, they don't have the opportunity, they don't have the protections. A lot of shelters don't know how mm-hmm. to deal with trans young adults, or they're aged out of the shelter program, and they have nothing, and they turn to prostitution as a way to get by.
Right. Is the young lady still on the line?
I think Courtney Hung. Courtney, still there? I think she. So how would somebody in their community deal with this? How would they address? That issue. Where would they go to call and say, look, I don't want this in my neighborhood, but I want to help deal with it. I have gay friends. I'm not homophobic,
mm-hmm.
but we can't have this. So what would
right.
they do?
Well, see, the thing about it
asking.
Is, Mark, is that, okay, what Trans United is doing right now, we're in talks with members of the city council, okay? And one of them is Carl Stokes, because that's his district where a lot
right.
of this is going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're sitting down and we're talking about trying to get a drop-in center open, a transitional housing unit open, mainly the drop-in center. Because we want to get people trained in careers so they can get jobs, okay? The African American Employment Association came to Trans United, and I did a presentation on discrimination in the workplace for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened up six jobs for us at University of Maryland Hospital. And I got six members of Trans United jobs at University of Maryland Hospital.
Good for you.
And we're
going to
do, thank you.
Great.
And we're going to continue to do this kind of work. But you can't just keep locking people up for these type of crimes because it's a revolving door. People come right back out and do it again because you're not making a solution to the issue. If people have been kicked out of their houses, you know, and people have been, you know, ostracized out of schools and if their career training, they're going to turn to the streets because they have nowhere
right.
else to go.
Right.
Can I
right.
interject just quickly? I know you have some another caller. Also, I think that the frustration of most of us is that the belief that a trans person or the transgender community is synonymous with sex work.
Right, right.
And there are many of us that have never done sex work that are educated. I was the first transgender American to perform for the president. I do a lot of speaking.
You're a classical violinist.
And I'm a classical violinist and opera singer. So that doesn't mean that everyone has had my experience. But I think some of the listeners are going to listen to that and have an issue with the way she phrased it. I understand where she was coming from. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have an issue with feeling like that was, okay, well, you know, these people are sex workers. Do I have issues with trans people or gay people, or is it just trans people because they're, you know, these are the people that were in my neighborhood? And that's what I wanted to comment on just a little bit.
Let's go back to the phones and get some of the callers in here. A lot of people are calling in. So, Roosevelt, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir, and good afternoon to your guests. And
welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
In my opinion, and I just pretty much have a comment as well to share my opinion. First of all, I agree with one of your guests there, the gentleman that has been speaking, in regards to the fact of education. Education, as well as knowledge, is power. So yes, they need to be educated so that they can live a productive life in society. Mm-hmm. Number two, the fact is that we weren't put here to judge. According to my understanding of the biblical term, judge ye not lest ye be judged.
Yes.
So therefore, why are people judging these individuals? They choose the lifestyle that they choose. Let it be at that.
Mm-hmm.
If you get angry with everybody that chooses something that you dislike and create violence, the world will be full of violence all the time, 24/7.
Right.
So therefore, the key element being education.
Right. And let's start that education thing right now.
That's right.
That it's not a choice.
That's right. That's the first thing.
That's the first thing people have to understand, is that it is not a choice. It is not a choice. We are born this way. We are born this way. And there's nothing you can do. You can fight it for years and years. There are people who have killed themselves. Who have hung themselves,
many people.
Simply because, and they've been in these institutions, institutions where people go who, try to suppress, their thoughts and everything, and they end up going insane simply because people are not allowing them to live their lives.
But one of the reasons why people have that opinion is because you all don't know the history. Trans people are very relevant to America, and we've been around since the beginning of time. Around the world, trans people have done phenomenal things. And I think that once the media embraces trans people and you're allowed to see all the wonderful things that we do now and currently as well as in the past, I think that a lot of people won't see us as being such freaks of nature, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in the 40s and 50s and 60s who were transgender, you would never know about. They were so terrified to tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
There are stories that I know of, and people who have come to me after seeing some of the things I've done, where there were whole communities of people who just never told.
Mm-hmm.
They were terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the general assumption is that we don't know anyone that's like this, and the only people that we know that are like this are the ones who are walking on the stroll.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
What the general assumption.
Because that's who they see.
That's who they
see. That's
who they see. Right.
Let's get another call in here. And 410-319-8888. Spice, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. How are you all doing?
Well,
I'm
welcome.
Really glad you're having this conversation.
Thanks for joining us.
I go to the Towson Unitarian Universalist Congregation, and I wanted to let you all know that we're doing two services on Sunday as well, one at 9:15 or 9:30, and the other at 11:15, and Donna is going to speak. Donna Plumpton, or
Plantinon?
Yes.
Yeah, and also there's going to be some music, and we're going to have some testimonials if people are interested in coming out and speaking. I am part of the quote unquote queer community, and I've been involved for over 30 years, and I've seen the kind of the transition into the transgender community, and it's fascinating to me because when I was, coming out 30 years ago, I didn't know that, that you all existed. I knew there were bisexuals and lesbians and gay people, but what's happened in the past, 20 years has been unbelievable. And I really support you all, and I,
thanks for your support.
Admire what you all are doing.
I just want to say that this is Catherine Hyde. I'm the mom from PFLAG, and I tell people that trans is the new gay.
Well, let me say something briefly about that.
Oh, please.
Now,
oh, my God.
First and foremost, the trans community was the community that started this whole movement when it came down to LGBT in general.
Yes.
Well, if you look at the Stonewall riots, the only reason why Stonewall riots happened was because police officers at that time, it was illegal to cross-dress, let's just say that.
Right.
It was illegal for someone who was born male to dress as a female, female dressed as a male. The only reason why those riots happened were the strength and courage of transgendered Americans who said, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. You're coming into places where we like to party, where we congregate and get to know one another. Mm-hmm. They would dump their faces in water to try to wash off makeup. Mm-hmm. They were checking identifications and all sorts of things, and taking people to jail. So what is very offensive to most transgender people who do know this is that you have the premise of even gay America that we are new and different, and when we were the ones who started.
Well, but I think the important, what you're saying, laying out in history, is important.
Right.
But I don't think that's what she was saying so much as saying that in America, the battle around transgender rights and opening that world is new. I mean, it is new for most people. It's not something that was, on people's conscience. Some people realize.
I realized that. I wasn't refuting that. What I'm saying is that it's unfortunate that that is even a conversation, because it should have never been this way to begin with. Do you see what I'm saying? If you know what the history is, and you've seen how we helped start this, why would even our own gay brothers and sisters not do more to make sure that we are included in all of this stuff?
Because I think whether you're gay or straight, I think the notion, the whole idea of transgender is something that I think people don't. It wasn't part
you ever
of
heard,
the world.
You ever heard the saying,
that's
done,
what I'm saying.
You ever heard the saying, what's done in the dark shall come to the light? These are the days for trans people to come out.
It is. Now, this is the time. It's happening.
This is the time. These are the days when the sun and the light hit you, it's time to grow.
Yeah.
Okay? We are our Lord's cross.
Who's that trying to say something on the air here? I'm sorry.
Sorry. Sharon wanted to. Yeah, I'm hearing an echo. Sorry about that. What I wanted to highlight was that there's been some commentaries about orientation, gay and lesbian and stuff. And I think it's really important that people understand how being trans is very different from those identifiers. The standing joke is, your orientation is who you want to go to bed with. Being trans is who you go to bed as. Mm-hmm. And so within the trans community, we do have gay, we do have lesbian, we also have straight, we have people who are asexual because they've decided that's not part of their lifestyle. We run the entire range of the normal society that's before you. And so it is not, being trans is not a gay issue, it's not a lesbian issue, it's a human issue.
Right. And also Sharon, I think it's important for people to know that it is not a lifestyle.
Right.
It is not a lifestyle. Trans people are born this way, just like cisgender people are born cisgender.
That's right.
Gay people are born gay. Lesbian people are born lesbian. They do not choose, and we do not choose, but we choose different lifestyles to live as who we are.
And we've turned the lifestyle word into a word of choice. Gay lifestyle. No, we have, gay lifestyle.
Yes.
Nobody looks at me and says, well, you have a heterosexual lifestyle.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, I say this to the parents. Why do we look at our kids and say, are you sure? We never look at our straight kids or our cisgender kids and say, could this just be a phase? Are you sure you're straight? Are you sure you're cis?
Right.
You know, it's just crazy.
Well, I mean, like the fun shit.
When did you decide to be straight?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I'll let you know later. 410-398-8888. Leah, you're on the air. I'm sorry. Hi, Leah.
Hey, how you doing?
Leah.
Everyone.
Hi, Leah.
Oh, is that Gilmore?
It is Leah Gilmore.
Hi.
Gilmore.
Hey there, sister.
Hey. I just have to tell you that these
are some of the most dynamic, smart, brilliant women that I have ever had the pleasure of working with.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You know what I mean? And Sandy's my baby. I can't believe I watch.
I miss you.
I miss you too, sweetheart. And she's just a strong woman who believes in this. And I think we've all worked together, you know. And it is so important that there be an understanding that, like Tona said, that this is not a monolithic community. There's a community like all of our communities, and it should be respected as so. And congratulations, Carrie, on becoming the executive director. So I'm just thrilled, and I'm a huge supporter, and I just want to send a shout out and say hello.
Thank you, Leah.
Thank you, Leah. Hope to see you soon.
Let's try another call in here so we get some responses as well. Takiria, is it Takiria? I think you're on the air.
Takiria, yes. Hi.
Hi.
My name is Takiria, and I'm actually bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I just very much agree with you all that this is not a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I can remember, I have always been attracted to females. Now, mm-hmm. while I have a child, I'm pregnant now, and I'm engaged to be married, and mm-hmm. my idea of a family is actually a man and a woman,
mm-hmm.
I still, you know, am attracted to females, and I choose to act on it because it's an attraction that I've always had. I've never been molested as a child. I don't have anyone in my immediate family, mother, brothers, aunts, uncles, that are, you know, bisexual or, you know, gay, mm-hmm. any of that. Mm-hmm. It's just something that from I can, maybe kindergarten, can see myself looking at other girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that I've, you know, always felt that way. And I think that people should get it out of their head that it's a choice. And if you learn to accept that, just mm-hmm. like with any other, you know, any other problem that someone may have, whether it's, you know, that they're bipolar or whatever, they don't choose these type of things. That's who they are. And if you can embrace that, why can't you embrace someone's sexual identity? And to the other caller who called in reference to the prostitution in her neighborhood,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you don't have a problem with the person. You have a problem with the act, because many people, you know, result to prostitution for whatever the
That's
reason
right.
may be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
Say
not
it.
About the people that are prostituting. It's about the act and the way it makes your community look.
That's
so
right.
what you should be doing is looking at other ways of maybe changing laws and things that, you know, voting the way that you should to help your community, give them a place to go. There are certain states where prostitution is legal.
That's mm-hmm. true.
All right.
That's true.
Somewhere that they can go to do these things to keep it out of your neighborhood. So maybe you should be looking in that direction to give them somewhere to go, if that's what they choose to do, to keep it out of your neighborhood.
Go girl.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
It.
Thanks for the comments.
I have to ask you all a question here. This may not be a little bit shunted to a strange question that I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to ask you. This is especially going to Tona and to Sandy.
Okay.
You all seem very excited that Carrie Evans is now the new executive director of
You have no idea.
Of Equality Brothers.
Excited is an understatement.
So I can
see. Well, ever since I've known Carrie, I thought Carrie should have been in that position, executive director of Equality Maryland. Equality Maryland is a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful organization. And
but
sometimes we can...
I don't think anyone would disagree. Well, maybe some people would, but I feel that there needed to be a change in leadership.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
That's
sometimes leadership, certain leadership, can come in and give this, you know, this persona or a look to other people, and you know, and people may look and say, well, that's not the leadership that need to be there, you know. And I'm just glad that things are moving forward. I don't want to dwell in the past. I just want to make sure that, you know. You know, everybody get their equal rights in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And
we need them.
What's happening this weekend, I think it's important to talk about for a minute, for all of us to talk about, that this International Transgender Day of Remembrance
mm-hmm.
that is on this day, November 28th, because of the murder of Rita
November
Hester.
20th.
Uh-huh. Excuse me, my eyes can't read sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. Rita Hester.
Yeah, back in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Who was murdered. Mm-hmm. And these murders keep going on.
And by the way, her murder is unsolved.
And her murder is unsolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Tyra Trent, who was murdered,
yes.
Found in a house dead. Wow. Found in a house dead earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
In Baltimore City. Over in West Baltimore. A guy trying to find his dog ran across her body in a cold house. And so, you know, the police, you know, are still working on that case, mm-hmm. and it's unsolved. Okay, there was a young lady by the name, I'll say her nickname is D. Okay, she was last October was found dead in Cinco Drive, I think it was, up here in the park. She was murdered. Mm. Okay, she was stabbed like 10 times in the chest, and you know, and they found her her undergarments around her ankles and stuff, you know, thrown out in the street just to die like that. And we mentioned just recently about the young lady in Detroit who was burned and thrown aside the road, and the two people who were shot and murdered in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
just recently. And we, you know, we can just go on and on and on about these incidents or these ruthless, you know, acts against people who are just trying to live their lives and just live, you know, live and be who they are, mm-hmm. you know. They're trying to eat, sleep, and work, and just think, like everybody else is.
And I think Catherine. We also have to speak to, and I know that the Day of Remembrance doesn't do this as well, but there's an incredibly high suicide rate among the transgender people, mm-hmm. because we make it so difficult for mm-hmm. them to be who they are and mm-hmm. to live a fulfilling life. And so there's just so much stacked against these people. I think it deserves a Day of Remembrance and, mm-hmm. and honor mm-hmm. paid to the yes. lives we've lost because of our own ignorance and intolerance.
Mm-hmm. And I just hope and I pray one day that, you know, people can really just, you know, see us for who we are. You know,
yes.
we're your mothers, or fathers. I always say this, we're mothers, we're fathers, we're sisters, we're brothers, we're uncles, mm-hmm. we're aunts, we're neighbors.
Your children.
We're your children.
Your children.
Definitely, right. We're your children. We're, you know, we're part of this community. We're mm-hmm. part of this world. We were born into this world the way we are. We're not going anywhere, so... Get used to us, you know?
Well, I mean,
come on, let's go have a Big Mac or something
what's
together.
So funny with the people that that are enjoying my video blog is just that, you know, just how normal my life
right.
is, you know, the everyday mm-hmm. things of going to the grocery store, things that people don't, quote unquote, think that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really, really important. My followers on Twitter, at Tenacity, T-O-N-A-C-I-T-Y, and that's also my YouTube channel for my video blog. It's really remarkable, the comments and the love and support that comes from so many people who are just like, look, we, even if I don't understand how you became the woman that you are, you're a phenomenal person,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're supporting. And that's what we need to support within the transgender community, within the community at large. And one of the things I speak about a lot is having a good self-esteem and awareness of yourself and having pride, because once you go into the history of who you are, for any transgender person, it is such an enlightening thing mm-hmm. to see where we've gone. There's a blog by Monica Roberts, you
mm-hmm.
know her.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Roberts has a blog called Transgrio.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first started talking to her years ago, how it was so encouraging to see just an archive
mm-hmm.
of transgender history
mm-hmm.
and just all of the phenomenal things we've done. So
mm-hmm.
I really think that once we have more shows like this and television programs like this,
mm-hmm.
it will make a phenomenal difference.
Mm-hmm.
Tona Brown, Catherine Hyde, Sandy Rawls, Carrie Evans, and Sharon Brackett, I want to thank you all for being on the air with us here today.
Well, thank you
thank
for
you
having
for
us.
Thank you for having this conversation.
Thank
and
you.
I remind you all this weekend in celebration, Transgender Day of Celebration, mm-hmm. from 11 to 6:30 p.m., workshops and conversations will take place at the First Unitarian Church of Baltimore at 514 North Charles and Franklin.
Small correction, Transgender Day of Remembrance.
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Sunday, November 20th, Transgender Day of Remembrance, same location, 6 p.m.
What, are they changing it up these days?
And Mark, if I could.
We have almost out of time, but very quick, yeah.
Yeah, sure. In Howard County, in Ellicott City, at the George Howard Building, Monday the 21st, at 7:30 p.m., we will be having public hearings in support of gender identity in Howard County.
All right.
We're asking everyone who's supporting us to come and wear purple.
And we'll put all that up on our website. And we thank you all for being here today and stay with us. We'll come back with our next hour.
You. Thanks for having us.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Okay.
Support for WEAA is provided by St. Ignatius Loyola Academy, a tuition-free private middle school for boys from low-income families in Baltimore. St. Ignatius offers an academically challenging and safe learning environment for incoming sixth graders. St. Ignatius Loyola Academy will offer an open house on Saturday, November 19th from 9 to 11 a.m. More information at stignatius.org or 410-539-8268. And members like you. Thank you. Sometimes the best part of driving from work or even sitting down at your desk is tuning in to the Mark Steiner Show. Mark makes riding in the car or finishing up some task a completely different experience. If commuting home without the Mark Steiner Show sounds absolutely dreadful, please make a contribution in any amount in support of this program. Take a few minutes now to help pay for those priceless periods of radio relief later on. Call 443-885-2075 or give online at weaa.org.
The following is a public service announcement from WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Gilchrist Center, located at 555 West Towsentown Boulevard, will sponsor an ongoing monthly support group titled TLC, Coming Together After the Loss of a Child. The group meets once a month, bringing together people who are grieving the loss of a minor child, give and receive support, and learn about the grief process. For info, call Pat Schoenleberg at 443-849-8251.
Morgan State University Public Radio, 88.9 FM, member-supported, community-approved, WEAA, Baltimore.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We have a good hour planned up ahead for all of us. We're going to be talking with Tim Junkin in the first part of our hour about the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival happening in Eastern Maryland over the weekend. And then we jump into our news roundup with Tyrone Keyes and Delegate Mary Washington. But first, we're going to turn this over to WEAA Traffic, check on the roads and see what is going on in the roads around Baltimore. And those of you listening in the Baltimore area, listen to that. The rest is stay tuned. We'll be right back with our conversation. Stay with us.